The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peek, reading today from the May 12, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, the Tune In Alert, your handy guide to the soaps for the week of May the 12th by Michelle Parkerton. From Beyond the Gates, on Monday, May the 12th, the Duprees reel from a cascade of betrayals. Ava scrambles to hold on to what little she has left, and Kat's growing suspicion sets the stage for a reckoning that threatens to fracture the family beyond repair. The Duprees reclaim their power with a defiant appearance at the country club on Tuesday, May the 13th, and Ava makes a final plea for her mother's love, and Martin begins to unravel the truth behind a haunting memory that could destroy the family's legacy. On Wednesday, May the 14th, the Duprees rally around old dreams and new truths. Ava walks into the lion's den hoping for a second chance. Danny reignites a forbidden flame, and Kat quietly prepares for war, refusing to let Ava claim a place in the family. Ava searches for connection on her birthday on Thursday, May the 15th, and Kat turns the tables with a bold move that could finally bring Leslie down. Meanwhile, Ashley and Derek tiptoe around a growing divide, but is love enough to hold them together? On Friday, May the 16th, Danny and Pamela chase a risky new dream. Doug finds himself out of options, and Kat closes in on Leslie, and Nicole contemplates a life-changing mood. From The Bold and Beautiful, on Monday, May the 12th, Bill and Liam face the past and each other in a raw emotional reckoning that could change everything. Remembering their shared past reminds Liam of Hope's fierce conviction and her will to fight for what's ahead on Tuesday, May the 13th. And though shunned, Luna makes a surprise visit to Finn and Steffi. And on Wednesday, May the 14th, Liam cannot bear the pain of losing Hope and his daughters, and Carter informs Brooke that he will not give up on Hope. Finn and Taylor reassure Steffi that she did the right thing on Thursday, May the 15th, and Hope clings to Liam, desperate to save his life, and Daphne does her best to sway Carter to her and away from Hope. On Friday, May the 16th, Liam attempts to convince Hope to repair her relationship with Carter. And from Days of Our Lives, co-parenting goes out the window when Kristen and Brady fight about their daughter on Monday, May the 12th. And Chanel receives an apology from Johnny, but it may not be enough to salvage their relationship. On Tuesday, May the 13th, Roman makes a confession to Kate, and Sarah questions Xander's interest in University Hospital. Despite her parents feuding, Rachel spends her birthday with Brady and Kristen on Wednesday, May the 14th, and Gabby cashes in on her bachelor auction date with Alex. On Thursday, May the 15th, Sean and Steve work together to attempt a break-in while Marlena and Kayla get together and commiserate. EJ crashes Marlena and Susan's breakfast on Friday, May the 16th, and Philip and Kevin begin to panic. From General Hospital, on Monday, May the 12th, Tracy presents a mission to Jason. Maxie seeks Anna's advice. Curtis is suspicious. And Emma gets bad news. And Jordan updates Laura. Carly warns Lulu on Tuesday, May the 13th. Curtis confides in Jordan. Trina opens up to Portia. Sonny surprises Laura, and Jocelyn makes a promise. On Wednesday, May the 14th, Carly and Jason strategize. Willow is heartbroken. Laura loses her cool. Drew makes a discovery, and Alexis tries to get the upper hand. Lucky does some digging on Thursday, May the 15th. Lucas visits Elizabeth. Rick receives an offer. Christina does damage control, and Gio confides in Sonny. On Friday, May the 16th, Ava counsels Portia. Nina makes a big ask of Carly, and Sonny seeks out Willow. And Tracy reassures Brooklyn, and Lulu is on the hunt. From The Young and Restless, Phyllis schemes to outsmart Billy on Monday, May the 12th. Mariah and Tessa hit a rough patch, and Claire slows things down with Kyle. On Tuesday, May the 13th, Victor considers an alliance with Phyllis. Adam and Chelsea struggle with their work-life balance, and Damien impresses Lily. Victor strikes back against Billy on Wednesday, May the 14th. Phyllis reaches out to Aristotle Dumas, and Nate is skeptical about Damien joining the family business. Jack and Diane worry about Kyle repeating past mistakes on Thursday, May the 15th, and Holden calls Audra's bluff, and Claire works to impress Nikki. And on Friday, May the 16th, Nick finds himself revisiting familial territory. Sally worries about Billy's need for revenge, and Amanda Sinclair returns to Genoa City. In our next story today, Beyond the Gates, What Took You So Long to Wind Up in My Bed? By Diane Brunstein. A Daughter's Anguish, the action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers preview for the week of May the 12th, opens with Leslie narrating over a scene in which Ted reaches out to hold Ava's hand. "Look at you, living a life with the parent that you chose," she says, as the actual moments of her talking to Ava while at the dinner are seen. The young woman is obviously pained as her mother spews venom at her. "Don't give me another thought," Leslie spits at her daughter. A light warning. Next, Vernon and Anita are sitting together at home by the piano. "Anything for you, Mr. Dupree," Anita tells her husband as she takes his phone from him and smiles broadly. As he leans in with a growl, she stops him. "Except that," she warns playfully. Leading down the primrose path, a fearless cat does the verbal battle with Leslie, but she's way out of her league when it comes to manipulation. "So you're admitting it," Cat states, as Leslie tries to hold back on the Cheshire grin. "Ava ran Laura off the road," Cat surmises wrongly. Ava's own mother, who did the deed, is fine with letting Cat do her dirty work. She will get revenge of her own half-sister without ever realizing Leslie is playing her just the way she wants. Afternoon Delight, Nicole has some tough questions for Danny. "Do you want me to tell you what's going on with you and Andre?" Nicole asks as a scene of the couple falling into bed together is shown. "What took you so long to wind up in my bed?" Danny asks Andre, who looks very happy that he's there beside her. Check it all for yourself. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, General Hospital spoilers. You Have Been Served by Michelle Parkerton. The Exit Strategy, the action in the General Hospital spoilers preview for the week of May the 12th, opens with Sonny and Jason discussing their meeting with Sidwell and their mutual desire to leave behind the life of organized crime. As they consider Jen's proposition, Sonny surmises that he's the most logical player to hand over their empire to. "Sidwell is not my first choice," the dimpled Don admits to his enforcer, "but it's the only chance we have to walk away from the business." But will Sonny and Jason really be able to leave the mob that easily? And might Sidwell have an ulterior motive in wanting to strike a deal? Family Matters. Next, the preview switches to the child Brooklyn gave up for adoption when she was a teenager, the son she secretly had with Dante that he doesn't even know about. Lulu fills in Carly on the latest piece of the puzzle that she's uncovered. "Who do you think Dante's son is?" Carly asks her cousin. And without hesitation, Lulu replies that the child Brooklyn gave away has been living in plain sight all along. "It's Gio," she declares, What will Lulu do with the new piece of information? Meanwhile, Tracy is on a mission to track down the missing member of the Quartermain clan. Knowing that Lois facilitated the adoption, Tracy is determined to bring her great-grandson into the family fold. Meeting up with Jason at the Metro Court restaurant, she has a mission for her nephew. "I want you to find him," she instructs Jason. Will Jason easily figure out that Gio is the missing child Tracy is searching for? The beginning of the end. Elsewhere, Willow gets some upsetting news. Although not totally unexpected, "You have been served," a process server is heard saying as the shocked Willow stares down in disbelief. Has Michael, who is still recovering from his injuries at the burn clinic in Germany, finally filed for divorce? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the Days of Our Lives promo spoilers. "We Found Him" by Diane Brunstein. "One man's greed may be his brother's doom." The action in the Days of Our Lives spoilers preview for the week of May the 12th opens with Philip doing something underhanded as he sneaks into Xander's office and goes through his desk. He spots the file on Demira Pharmaceuticals and helps himself to the information inside. Back at the Brady Pub, Philip is on the phone telling the person on the other end of the line, "We have a lot to discuss." Philip meets with a mystery man named Kevin. "You want to steal the drug?" Kevin asks. "Without your help?" At the lab, Sean and Steve have made their way inside, but they come up empty-handed on the mysterious drug. "What the?" asks Sean as Steve realizes someone was in here. Sean tells him whoever it was, they didn't leave empty-handed. Kevin can be seen holding several vials and looking nervous. Anger may be his undoing. Johnny is talking with Chanel in the middle of a Hortontown square. She says to her husband about his father, EJ, "You wished he was dead." Johnny can only nod his head in agreement. Roman and Kate are comparing notes about the fateful night that EJ was shot. "When I came back, Johnny was gone," he tells his wife, who looks very worried. Paulina also has something to say about it, and she says it to her son-in-law, Johnny. "You might be the one who shot your father," she says, as he looks only mildly concerned. And one family's history is about to change. Marlena is also in Hortontown Square with Susan Banks. Marlena is on the phone getting amazing news. She tells Susan, "We found him." But as Marlena excitedly shares her news, Susan shudders. "It feels like someone just walked over my grave." Check it out for yourself. Let us know what you think in the comments section. Before we continue today, we'd like to take a moment for this very special announcement from the Virginia Voice. Mark your calendars. The Virginia Voice Guide and Stride is Saturday, June the 7th at 8 a.m. at Collegiate School in Richmond. Wake up, lace up, and join the Virginia Voice for a morning of fun, fresh air, and fitness. This Choose Your Distance walk run is accessible, family-friendly, and inclusive. All fitness levels are welcome, and sign up to walk, run, or be a volunteer guide. That's the Virginia Voice Guide and Stride, Saturday, June the 7th at 8 a.m. at Collegiate School in Richmond. For more information, visit virginiavoice.org or call 804-266-2477. In our next story today, the bold and beautiful Scott Clifton on the clock's ticking mentality driving Liam. By Mara Levinsky. Since Liam collapsed on the Bold and Beautiful after a confrontation with his dad, Bill, which led not only to emergency brain surgery, but to the devastating diagnosis of an inoperable brain tumor, the character has been determined to keep the news of his health problem close to his chest. Not even his ex-wife, Steffi, stirring pleas for him to let his other former spouse and baby mama know what's going on to have swayed him. But why? Soap Opera Digest checked in with Liam's portrayer, Scott Clifton, for his take on Liam's stance. There are two phases to this, Clifton begins. There's before Liam finds out his diagnosis and after he finds out the diagnosis. In the handful of episodes when Liam had been hospitalized but didn't yet know about the tumor, why Liam was so adamant about not telling anyone, what happened wasn't really explained in the scripts. So it just kind of had to make a choice and sort of guess his motivation. So he explains, what you kind of saw me playing there is that Liam has just had this huge conflict with his father where Bill is like, you need me. You would be nothing without me. You've been suckling at my teat your whole adult life, right? And then, of course, Bill leaves and then Liam has this episode. I think the anxiety and the stress got to him, and I imagine there was just a little bit of too much blood rushing to his brain, and he faints, and he loses consciousness, and he hits his head. Which is not wholly uncommon occurrence in Liam's life. Liam had maybe 4 or 5 traumatic brain injuries just on this show alone, the actor points out. To wit, he suffered his first on-screen concussion in 2010, the year he first introduced on B&B. A mishap in an airplane bathroom caused him to knock himself unconscious in 2016, which led to dizzy spells and ultimately another fall where he knocked his head, resulting in amnesia. He hit his head on a tree branch in 2018, and in 2021, Liam lost consciousness on the side of the road after Vinny leaped in front of his vehicle. As a result, Clifton theorizes, I think he's a little self-conscious of that at this point, and he's got it on his mind that he's needy because his father has just put this idea in his head. He's wondering, do I burden other people? Do I ask too much of other people? So there's that. And then there's just the fact that it's one more head injury. I think to Liam, it just feels icky to go, hey, I need everyone to feel bad for me now. At that juncture in the storyline, Clifton says Liam wasn't only trying to avoid the appearance of seeking pity. He notes Liam's misfortunes have also rescued him from his own karma in the past, like a lot. Liam has this unfortunate habit of never really having learned his lesson because something hits him in the head and then everybody has to feel bad for him, and then everybody moves on. So, he concludes, I think it was sort of an amalgam of self-consciousness and self-awareness about Liam's own history. And that's just why he was choosing to conceal the latest developments with his health when he was in the hospital and he's hit himself on the head again. A secret admirer? Once Liam finds out that he's dealing with far more than a concussion and is, in fact, dying from a brain tumor that really kicks the secrecy into high gear, Clifton proclaims, when Liam really does sort of absorb this and he recognizes that he doesn't have much time left, it really becomes about setting up the people in his life for success and happiness once he's gone. That obviously includes his daughters Kelly and Beth, most of all, and it also includes making sure that Steffi and Finn are happy together and that they're going to be okay, and making sure that Hope is not going to be left alone and spiraling, and that she won't self-destruct. Indeed, even as Liam is resisting telling Hope about his diagnosis, he has made it clear to Steffi how important it is to him that the woman's long-running feud be put to rest. His thoughts go toward Hope's a lot, Clifton nods, and making sure that her relationship with Steffi is going to be okay. As the actor sees it, he doesn't want anyone to find out that he has this inoperable brain tumor because he has this sort of clock-ticking mentality. It just feels like such a waste of time to him to have conversations with people where they're just feeling bad for him, or having to navigate other people's feelings about losing him. It's a really interesting kind of mindset for him to be in. He really doesn't want anyone to know, but at the same time, he's trying to work behind the scenes to set everybody up for the best possible life after he's gone. Clifton sees Liam's approach to what could be his final days as pragmatic rather than emotional, which I believe is a flavor of Liam that we haven't seen much of, he adds, and kind of dig that. And I kind of dig that. In our next story today, in memoriam, Denise Alexander, star of General Hospital and Days of Our Lives, dies at 85, by Mara Levinsky. Denise Alexander, the beloved actress best known for her portrayal of Susan Hunter Martin on Days of Our Lives and Leslie Weber on General Hospital, has passed away. One of the most significant stars of daytime television in the 1960s and 1970s, Alexander was 85 years old at the time of her death. Born in New York City, Alexander began acting as a child, appearing in radio shows like Remember Mama and Perry Mason. A life in full, in 1952, Alexander made her Broadway debut in The Children's Hour, starring as Evelyn Munn. Her first film role followed 4 years later at the age of 14. She co-starred with Sal Mineo in Crime in the Streets. The actress was also a frequent guest star on primetime TV shows, appearing in episodes of Father Knows Best, The Twilight Zone, The Danny Kaye Show, and many others. Alexander's daytime career began in 1960 on The Clear Horizon, a short-lived CBS soap in which she played Lois Adams. Soon after that, she landed the role of Emily Sanders on another short-lived serial, Ben Jarrod. Ben Jarrod premiered on the same day as General Hospital, April 1, 1963, and Alexander actually made a brief appearance on GH's unaired 1962 pilot episode as well, and at the time the show was titled Emergency Hospital. In 1965, she played the short-term role of Lorna Hill on General Hospital. The actress's star truly began to rise in 1966, when she landed the role of Susan Martin on Days of Our Lives. In 2015, Alexander recalled how she came to join the show in an interview with Soap Opera Digest, explaining, "The Days of Our Lives creators, Betty and Ted Corday, were darling people and they knew my father. When they were creating the show, they wanted it to be a multi-generational, and they called my dad about me coming on, but I didn't want to be in a long contract. But not quite 6 months into the show, we got another call about a character who was a bad influence on Julie and brought chaos into her life and the Horton family. They said, 'It's just for the summer.' I didn't often get cast as bad girls, and it was the Cordays, so I thought, oh, that would be fun. 7.5 years later, I was still there. I worked that whole period of time without a signed contract. It was a home to me." The character of Susan was a driving force in many major storylines over the course of Alexander's Days career, who played out dramatic twists that included rape, murder, love affairs, the death of a child, and mental illness. Alexander marveled to the Digest, "To have the wonderful, amazing, then-head writer Bill Bell writing for me every day was a gift." While at Days of Our Lives, Alexander created lasting friendships with co-stars like Susan Flannery, the ex-Laura, Seaforth Hayes, Julie, the late Bill Hayes, ex-Doug, and also met her future husband, Richard Cola. Alexander shared with Digest in 2015, "The Cordays were having a terrible time casting a young leading man when they were launching the show. Ted Corday met with him through McDonald Carey and immediately wanted him to read for the part of Tony Merritt, who was Marie Cheatham's character's boyfriend. He wanted to be a director, but they offered him the part and they promised him he'd get a chance to direct. So when Days of Our Lives went on the air, their young romantic leading man was Richard Cola, who never acted professionally in his life. And by the time I got there, which was about 6 months in, we looked at each other and went, we weren't connected on the show. 7 years later, we met again, and 40 years later, we're still together." Cola passed away in 2021. In 1973, Alexander's decision to leave Days to join General Hospital as Leslie sent shockwaves through the industry. How it came about, Alexander explained to Digest, was that Bill Bell was in the process of creating The Young and Restless. We had made an agreement of honor that Susan Martin would take a vacation while he got the other show up and running before he created a new story for me, and then I got a call from ABC about coming to their show. I called Betty Corday and said, "They're throwing figures at me. They're telling me not to ask you guys, but I can't do that. I have to tell you what's going on." Betty being Betty, she said to me, "You have to do this. They're offering you four times what we can give you." So that was kind of the beginning of the end of Days of Our Lives for me. It was difficult because of how I felt about the show and about the people and not really wanting to leave this lovely, cozy, loving nest. But they were telling me I had to go, and I knew Betty loved me as I loved her, and I had to listen to people who cared about me. There was a lot of stuff in the trades, a big press uproar. It was something I'll never forget and never experienced before. General Hospital was struggling both creatively and in the ratings in the early years of Alexander's time there, but the tide began to turn when Douglas Marlin was tapped as head writer in 1977, and Gloria Monty was named executive producer in 1978. Leslie's love affair with Chris Robinson's Rick, which became a triangle with Leslie Charlson's Monica, and the dramatic trial that ensued when Leslie took the rap for daughter Laura's murder of David Hamilton, were just as important as Luke and Laura love story in the beginning of General Hospital to number one of the ratings. As soap historian Christopher Schmering put it in the soap opera encyclopedia, Alexander left GH in 1984 and Leslie was killed off in a car accident, leading to a massive viewer outcry. Reflecting on her exit, Alexander told Digest in 2013 that after falling in love with Cola, I then began to look at my life away from work, which I had never done before. I'd been working since I was a kid, and I got weary. I wanted to create a home and a family, and I didn't know who I was when I wasn't Leslie. The only thing I wanted was maybe going from a three-day-a-week guarantee to a two-day-a-week guarantee. Apparently, they had an exciting long-term story coming in, and they kept saying they'd give me more money. It was never about that. I was happy with what I was making. There were problems in the negotiations, and there were chaotic events behind the scenes. A lot of people tried to turn it around, but it simply wasn't possible. I never believed it would really go away, but it did send out a shockwave. Her departure from the show was covered by the New York Times, which was stunning. Alexander noted to Digest, "I was very touched when the fans protested, but I did not grieve. I did have the life I had hoped to experience. I did have my forever after with my soulmate." The actress made her final appearance as Leslie in 2019 and 2021, and GH executive producer Frank Valeni shared the following statement on X. "I am so very sorry to hear of Denise Alexander's passing. She broke barriers on screen and off, portrayed Dr. Leslie Weber, one of the first female doctors on daytime television for nearly five decades. It meant so much to have her reprise her role in recent years, and I am honored to have had the opportunity to work with her. On behalf of the entire General Hospital family, I extend my heartfelt sympathies to her family, friends, and longtime fans. May she rest in peace." Thank you for joining me today for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peake for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.